Good morning, and thank you for tuning in on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. This morning, we start in the midst of worship with this week's sermon. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love.
What a privilege it is for us to gather together today, to worship together, to share our gifts. We thank you so much to all in the band who come and give those gifts to share with us in worship for our God. So we gather into this time of prayer, ready to release the things we need to release and to lift the friends and family and those around the world that we need to lift up. Let us go before God in prayer. Loving and illuminating God, we bow before your presence, humbled to come before the God of all creation. Open our spirits to your guidance. O God, you are a transforming God, and you have given us a vision of the glory in the life and death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Hear us today as we bring to you our own lives to be transformed by you through your redeeming presence in the midst of this community. In a world that is so easy to become dull to the wonder of your glory, we pray that we could be made salt and light, awakening all those who come near to us with your spirit that dwells within us. Open us to the needs of those who pass our way. Help us to serve you by serving them in the spirit of your Son, who showed us the way to life in its fullness. Give us grace to honor his name in the life that we build together here. To those who hunger, O God, make us bread. To those who lack shelter, make us a home. For those who are lost and lonely, make of us the peace and joy of Christ to them. May we bring hope and a future to those whose lives are growing dim. We pray that you would hear the prayers of those whose lives are closely linked with our own. We offer them to you now in silence. We offer up the names of friends, loved ones, acquaintances that need your love and your grace. Oh God, we will likely never see your face glowing on the side of a mountain, but Lord, make it as such. Make your light blind us as we walk along, to jolt us awake, to shake us into awareness of your awesome presence. Embolden us, enliven us, transform us into the beings that you have created us to be and called us to become. May we submit ourselves to your will for our lives, which is always difficult. We want to be in control. It can seem impossible to surrender ourselves to your leadership, but God, we know that in you our right lives are found. In you true life is found. Give us life that truly is life, as your scriptures say, which can only be found by living in your peace, in your love, and in your grace. Lead us, Lord, in your righteousness. Make your way plain before our faces, for it is you alone who makes us dwell in safety. As we hear your word, speak to us once again. And as we receive the gifts of your table, let us experience Christ anew in celebration and praise. Send us forth in your spirit, we pray, to rejoice in every moment of our lives. For we offer these and all our prayers in Christ's name. We lift our voices together as one, praying the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We open up God's word today to the book of Matthew, chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead."
The highest mountain on the whole eastern seaboard that goes from all the way to the very tip of Florida, all the way up through Maine, up into Canada. The highest mountain on this whole eastern seaboard part of our country is Cadillac Mountain. Cadillac Mountain is there in Acadia National Park on Mount Desert Island on the coast of Maine. And it's about as beautiful as a place that you could ever even going or imagining. On a perfectly clear day, you can stand on top of Cadillac Mountain and you can see down to your left the tourist town of Bar Harbor, Maine. You can peer out and see all those little islands. You can see to your right far off in the distance lighthouses out there at the very end of the point. And if you stay there long enough, you can even watch the tide coming in and then going out. You can see sandbars appeared that connect the mainland to those little tiny islands. You can see them being washed away and then reappearing again. It is such a pretty place. It is so gorgeous. You can even start at the very bottom and kind of wind your way up the mountain on this little tiny road, trying to dodge all the semis and the buses and like in the RVs and all that kind of stuff. And you can get to the very top where at certain points of the year, you can literally be the first person in the whole United States to see the sun come up. The very first person. The views there are amazing. But sometimes people will make plans to wake up at like ungodly hours in the morning, like 2:30 in the morning. They will get out of bed while everybody else is rightly like still asleep. They will like get in the car, pack food and coffee, and they will make their way in the dark up that long and winding road back and forth until they finally get to the top. And there they open up their back hatch and they set up shop. They like get out all their food and they make their own tailgate picnic. In the dark, mind you, a tailgate picnic. And they wait for the sun to rise. They wait there and they expect to see images like this. The sun coming up from this view on the top of the mountain. But every once in a while, they are there waiting for the sun to come up. But they realize that when the sun does come up, they cannot see a single thing because they are socked in by fog. There is nothing but clouds and fog all around them. And though there are signs in front of them telling them what they should see, like the lighthouse and like Bar Harbor and all those islands, though there are things they are supposed to see from the top of Cadillac Mountain, they might as well be standing on the level ground. Because they can't see a thing. If I were in that group that woke up on purpose at 2 a.m. to get to the top of the mountain to see the sun rise, and I got socked in by fog, I'd be praying for a time machine to go back to bed and make up those lost hours of sleep. But on that mountain and in that fog, it must have been like that for Peter and James and John. Because you heard the story. And in the story today, Jesus has been after it for a while. He's in Matthew 17, and so he's been preaching and teaching for a while. Telling people all about God's ways, telling them about grace and forgiveness and God's love and actually what it means to live a life full of God. Jesus has been teaching and preaching and leading people for a while now. He's even been telling anyone who will listen how much it's going to cost to become one of his disciples. In fact, in the story right before this one, He tells everybody what it means to take up your cross and follow him. He even does some foreshadowing about what's going to happen in the end when his earthly ministry ends up on a cross. He's been telling them all about it. And so while he's doing this, he takes Peter and James and John up this high mountain all by themselves. Because there comes a time when even they had to get away from all the crowds and all the people. You may be the biggest extrovert that there is in the whole world. You may love people. You may love to be around people and to talk to people all day long, 24/7, to chat and go and visit. But even for some of us, there comes a time when you have to get away from everybody and be alone. And that was it for Peter and James and John. They come to this holy space when it's just them and the view and the quiet. And so you can imagine what it was like at that mountaintop. The Bible says, while they were there, the sound of the silence was broken by the sound from heaven. The story says, in fact, suddenly, right in front of them, all the clouds come in, and right in front of them, Jesus' own clothes changed to this dazzling, bright, shining white. I'm talking like tied with like extra bleach kind of white. I mean, bright, shining white. And suddenly, as all the clouds come rolling in, these two Old Testament rock stars appear, Moses and Elijah. They just like show up out of the fog at that moment. And in this, it's like a mini Easter. It's like the resurrection is happening right before their eyes. And while this happens, God himself starts speaking. God says, listen to Jesus. He's my son, my beloved. We can imagine what it was like. And in that moment, Peter was completely overwhelmed. I mean, who wouldn't be? Jesus is there. God is speaking. Suddenly Moses and Elijah are there too. I mean, this is a life-changing, like line in the sand kind of moment. And Peter is so overwhelmed that he tells Jesus, we should pitch some tents. We should like erect some monuments so that we can stay. We can remember this place and come back to visit. And who could blame them? They had this amazing experience. The voice of God is coming down from heaven. It is Jesus in his glory. Peter wants to stay. As a little side note, the Irish mystics have this little great saying. They say that there are certain points in life whenever, like, the curtain between heaven and earth is, like, almost pulled all the way back. And, like, the dividing wall between heaven and earth just becomes so thin that you can't tell if you're in heaven or earth. They say we have these kind of thin place kind of experiences. It was like that for Peter and James and John. They could not tell where earth came to an end and heaven started. It was just so thin they wanted to stay. We'd want to stay. But of course the problem was, right, they couldn't stay. We may have these holy ghost holy mountaintop kind of experiences, but we don't live there. In fact, if you keep on reading in the rest of the story, you see that Peter and James and John and Jesus came back down from that mountaintop and got on with the rest of their lives. And whenever they reached the bottom of the mountain, the crowds had been waiting for them. What took you so long? They're wanting to know. We want to hear teaching. We have questions and issues to be addressed. They want to know. It's like that first day when you go back to work after a long and relaxing vacation. I mean, you may love your work. You may love everybody that you work with. It may be like every part of your being who you are. But after you have been away for a long, long time and you come back to those emails and the meetings and the deadlines, no matter how much you love what you do and like how much it is a part of who you are, when you come back on that very first day, it's like drinking through a fire hose. It's like information overload. It's like, holy smokes, can I go back on vacation again? It was like that for the disciples. It was like that for Jesus. And it's like that for us in our spiritual lives sometimes. There are times when we have amazing spiritual experiences, when we feel like this holy nudge and we think that all must be right with us and God. And we say, we've been to the mountaintop and Moses and like even Elijah were there with us and we feel as good and we can withstand everything that comes at our life. But then the phone rings and the emails come and our kids get sick for like the 95th time this month and there is stress and there is work and there is life. And whatever deposits we have made into our spiritual account get spent in like a day. And those holy moments are gone before we realize it. If you have been there, if you have felt like your spiritual gas tank is empty and like we're going through the motions and there's nothing to grab onto or lean into in the hard moments of life, if that's you, join the club. There are moments for all of us when faith is hard to come by. It happens to everybody. Even those of us who work in the church. I mean, sometimes I get so busy writing sermons, teaching about the Bible that I actually forget and neglect actually reading the Bible. There are lots of days when I spend all my time working for the Lord, I don't have time to actually sit with the Lord. We have these holy, thin, seem wonderful moments, but they seem to be few and far between. If this happens to you, actually, when this happens to you, I have a suggestion for us. When I was in high school, my home church had this big, huge, old sanctuary that was built in 1892. This actually is not my home sanctuary, but I needed a picture, and I couldn't get one, and so this is kind of close to that. But you get the idea. In my home sanctuary, that is on the National Register of Historic Places, built so long ago, they have red pews that stretch from like window to window, end to end. And there is this long center aisle that is perfect for weddings. They have this massive pipe organ with like this old stained glass window kind of like on like either side. And it is a beautiful old time sanctuary. But way in the back, like as far in the back as you can get from the pulpit, is the balcony. And when I was in high school, the very top row in the back of the balcony was my favorite spot in the whole entire sanctuary. In these days, my dad was the preacher and he spent most every single Sunday preaching from the very front, but me and my friends were way in the very back in the top. And let me just say, it was amazing up there. I mean, you could like pay attention to the sermon like halfway. Maybe like quarter of the way pay attention to the sermon. But you had to kind of watch your head whenever we stood up to sing because like the ceiling was low in like some spots. And so you'd bang your head up there in the very top. We were not so far away that my mother, who was sitting like halfway down, like in the lower part, that she could still turn around and keep an eye on me and my friends in the very top. But it was great up there because you could see the whole entire view of the church. See, I was thinking about that place in the sanctuary. Because if you will read books on leadership and business, they talk about making sure you take time for balcony time. And they don't name it, but what they're talking about is making sure you have time for mountaintop time, to gain some perspective, to get away from the stress and the everyday and see things from a new kind of view. You see, this is what it means to be a Christian today in our spiritual lives. There is never a place where God is not. There is never a time when God is not with us. But sometimes in the midst of everything that we have to do in life, the view may be foggy. There are things that happen that may cloud our vision. God may be filling our entire presence and being, but we can't feel it. And so this week, for all of us, we have a challenge. We are called to carve out some time this week where it's just us and God, just you and God alone. Maybe it takes turning off your phone, like actually turning off your phone, like powering it down and like putting it away for a few minutes. There may be some pain associated with that, but actually turning it off for a while, getting away from the chaos and the clutter, and finding a mountaintop view to listen for God. We may hear God's voice, but we may not. But that doesn't mean God is absent, because the Lord God is there. And so we're called to do whatever we have to do, to pray and to read, to meditate, to sit in silence, to sing, to find times where it's almost like a little mini Easter in our lives, where the presence of the risen Christ fills us to sustain us in all that God calls us to do. Let's pray. Beloved God, we know that your Son, Jesus Christ, here upon this day was transfigured before Peter and James and John, that his true purpose and meaning was made known, that we are assured, O God, that he is your Son, the one who came to show us the way. Though we know that and believe that with all that we are, O God, there are times when we are not quite sure. There are many days when doubt seems to creep in, when we do not know that you are there because we can't feel your presence, and we're not quite sure where to turn. And so in those moments, O God, when we find ourselves in the deepest valley, let us know that you are there. Lift our eyes to the hills, O God. Lift our eyes to know that your presence is there to bless us and be with us. We offer our lives to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message of hope from First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, here in Burlington, Iowa. We are located at 1221 Park Avenue on the south side of town, in between the airport and Dankwart Park. If you're looking for a church home or looking to find a relationship with Jesus Christ for the first time, we hope that you will join us for worship this Sunday morning. We have two services every week. Our traditional service is at 8:45 a.m. and features old-time favorite hymns and a wonderful anthem by our chancel choir. Our contemporary service is at 10:45 and features our amazing band and music that you hear from today's Christian radio. Both services offer a hope-filled and challenging message for today, activities for youth and children of all ages, and open communion for all who believe in Christ. There is no better way than to begin your week with worship, so I hope you will join us. You can find out more information by going to our website at www.burlingtondoc.org, and you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Burlington DOC. We hope you have a great week and share the love of God with someone today.